From the BBC's Music Live Festival in Glasgow, we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of the News Quiz. We start with a clipping from the Birmingham Evening Mail, read by Charlotte Green.
17,000 time-wasting emergency calls were received by Durham police last year, including a woman who dialed 999 to report that her pizza had been delivered with the wrong topping.
To Ted Shepherd of Thelwall. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Fred McCauley. And on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Linda Smith. Francis, a very easy starter for you. Who made a right royal mess of its full frontal coverage?
Pass. No, this is a great national emergency, isn't it? Turns out that Sophie Rhys-Jones has breasts. And this was revealed by the Sun newspaper, a newspaper in inverted commas, on, I think, about Wednesday. And then they apologised almost immediately for this terrible revelation. They had a huge front page saying, Sophie topless. And it's very odd. If you've ever seen the editor of the Sun, this man Yelland, bald as a coot. I mean, he's permanently topless. He doesn't think that newsworthy, but he gets fantastically excited at the merest glimpse of Sophie topless or anyone else topless. I think it's because an awful lot of those men on the Sun, they don't get out much, and they haven't yet discovered what goes on under ladies' T-shirts.
The apology was to Prince Edward, though, because he hadn't actually seen them yet. He's gone, oh, that's ruined my wedding night.
I kept saying that this is not in the public interest, and I have to say, I am the public, and I was slightly curious.
The Sun did accept that the photo was deeply offensive and promised never to print pictures of Chris Tarrant again. 2 points to Francis. Fred, who assembled for a Wales of a time?
And the clue's in the question there, isn't it? is it the Welsh Assembly? The Queen's on our sort of round Britain breaking up the UK tour.
Is it? Are you fed up?
It was boycotted, wasn't it, by the Manic Street Preachers? What's the most astonishing thing about the whole event?
The Queen was gutted. She's a big Manics fan.
Prince Philip turned up, so there was one Manic Street Preacher there.
She was very good when she was head of youth entertainment, though, wasn't she, Manic Street Preacher? I have to say, it sounds a bit lame, because in Scotland they've got a parliament. In Wales they've got an assembly. And so at the start of the day, the speaker stands up and says, some of you boys have been stealing from Mr. Mansell.
Wasn't there something about the mace for the Welsh Assembly being made out of Welsh natural product? They've got slate and coal and gravel
and lamb.
Yeah, if you hold it up, you can hear it whinging about rugby.
Prince Charles, in his address to the Assembly, admitted he'd had terrible trouble getting to grips with the local tongue, but at least it meant he had something to chat with Ron Davies about. 2 points to Fred. Linda, whose information didn't turn out to be a free-for-all at all?
Whose information didn't
Freedom
turn out...
Freedom of information. Jackie Straw.
Oh, Mad Jackie Straw.
Mad Jackie Straw.
The well-known East End gangster.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's saying, no, we can't have any freedom of information. You can know certain things, but only when you're a prefect.
Mm. You can't know anything that might upset you. If your child is turned down by a school, they can tell you why. Or you can demand to know why, so you'll go in and they'll say, well, frankly, it's because you're common. You know you won't spend any money at the school fete. However, if your child is under surveillance, you can't find out why.
But there's also this wonderful clause he's introduced whereby he says that even harmless bits of information can be withheld if you might use that and put it together with another harmless bit of information to make a harmful bit of information. So, you know, it might seem reasonable to know that Jack Straw is the Home Secretary, but then if somebody separately gets in touch and says, what's the address of the Home Office, and you release that, then they'll know Jack Straw's address and they can write him letters. So both those bits of information can get through.
It was It's revealed in the bill that the public will be charged a flat fee of £50 to get information from local councils. So bear that in mind next time you ring to find out why the bins haven't been emptied. 2 points to Linda. Jeremy, your music. So take a good look at my face. You'll see my smile. Jeremy, who's getting money for old track?
Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, 1965. Rail track. Rail track make railways out of lolly sticks. And yet, somehow, they get vast amounts of money. So that's what makes politics so piquant and interesting, isn't it, really? These fascinating dichotomies that exist, whereby we subsidise it and they make all the money.
Railtrack has again announced record profits, this time £428 million, equivalent to £1.2 million a day, or a weekly season between Glasgow and Edinburgh. Many people blame rail privatisation for the poor performance, but others have hailed it as a triumph. No rail operator could be more suitable for the West Coast line than Virgin, mainly because nobody's ever managed to go the whole way on it. The old ones are always the best ones, aren't they? At the end of round one, everybody has 4 points. And we start round two with an item seen in the Daily Mail.
A roadside traffic survey to explore ways of beating jams had to be abandoned yesterday after it caused a tailback 13 miles long.
Thanks to Joe Berry of Ashwell. Francis, who's been suffering the after effects of a large Chinese takeaway?
Well, it's such a vague question, I'm trying to say. I mean, Clinton certainly gets lots of loot from Chinese donors. And he then bombs their embassy in return as a mark of his gratitude.
It's about spies, isn't it?
It is, Linda.
Oh, that, the Chinese...
2 points to us, Linda.
All right, give them They've had all their nuclear secrets and every other secret stolen. They just ordered the entire menu.
There were all these Chinese spies that the American Secret Service didn't seem to notice, who were just wandering around stealing military secrets, but... Then, as they didn't notice the fact that J. Edgar Hoover was in fact Ethel Merman for 30 years, it's not that surprising, is it, really?
I've got a theory that what happened was the guys in the nuclear factory were asked to work overtime and they were allowed to phone out for a carry-out. And when the Chinese delivery boy arrived, they were so taken with him that they brought him in. And while they were discussing who was having the diced chicken and mushroom, he said, could he have a look around? And he copied all the documents. And much the same happened in the Lockheed factory where they make the stealth bomber, because there's apparently a pizza delivery boy who's now got a stealth moped. And they're going to have it off him as soon as they can find where he is. He goes through all these... goes through the speeding camera flash gun, but it just doesn't show up.
Suggestions that the Chinese have obtained details of the latest British submarine propulsion system have caused outrage at Porton Down's top-secret wound-up rubber band research unit. Fred, who decided at the last minute to become champions of Europe? Oh, God, that's so
Man United. It was a very exciting game, and surely, once and for all, this will put paid to all these Arsenal supporters complaining that Man United only ever scored in the 12th minute of extra time. The game was sewn up by the 92nd minute. It was. Scott Sir Alec Ferguson. Showing you lot how it's done.
Like Manchester United's own team of the 60s, Liverpool in the 70s, they've proved that the key to football success is to have a Scottish manager. Though it's not yet worked for Partick Thistle. Victory was greeted with joy and revelry all round the world. And some people who actually live in Manchester also joined in. Linda, your piece of music. Linda, who's been making a mint out of Diana?
The Franklin Mint, isn't it? They've issued a set of commemorative plates of topless Sophie Rhys-Jones. I don't understand. understand this Franklin Mint thing, collecting. You know, you collect these all these weird things, or sets of thimbles with great, you know, 20th century war criminals on them or whatever. And you collect them, but you don't really collect them. You send away the money and they send them to you, which isn't collecting, really, is it? You collect things over a period of years. You don't, that's just buying something, really, isn't it? But you could say that, you know, British Gas have a collection of my checks. So, yeah, no, it's Diana, actually, the Diana Fund. There are these incredibly ghoulish dolls of Diana, which the Franklin Mint, apparently making about £20 million out of these things. And the Diana Fund are donating £30,000 a month to lawyers in need. One of Diana's favourite charities, which ironically is exactly the amount of money that people are still sending into it.
You get a lot of those things on Classic FM as well, because they're always advertising CDs called The Ultimate Collection, and then 6 months later they say, and now a new CD called The Ultimate Collection, and it goes on forever, and it's always bloody Vivaldi, it's never anything else.
Is he still writing then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Frankie Vivaldi in the Four Seasons.
Jeremy, who's been ordered to keep away from hookers and white lines on grass?
Ah. Delalio. I can't say Delalio without wanting to follow it with, there's whiskey in the jar. This is a man who was cruelly tricked by two members of the press, who tricked him by posing as complete strangers to gain his confidence. And this was a cunning double bluff, because they actually were complete strangers as well. And he thought, I've never met these people in the, well, according to the tapes, I don't know these people, and sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger about drugs and prostitution. And so the people championing Delalio said, said it was a game of one-upmanship in the bar. And because they said, they posed as people from Gillette. And they said, we sold toiletries. And he said, that's nothing, I've sold cocaine. And they said, we're interested in you promoting a new range of shaving foam. And he said, that's nothing, I've been with prostitutes in Amsterdam.
I don't think cocaine would complement a game of rugby, really, because when everyone goes into a scrum, you get all paranoid and think they were talking about you.
This whole story came about because Lawrence Doolalio went up for a line out and didn't come back down. And he doesn't need rugby anymore because he's moving into films, and you'll see him soon in Lawrence of Columbia.
Yes, according to the News of the World reporter Louise Oswald, Delalio is alleged to have snorted coke. His predecessor, Will Carling, would have nothing to do with cocaine, but only after she'd given birth to their son. The family were devastated when they heard the truth. It was a terrible shock to discover our daughter was a journalist on the News of the World. At the end of round two, the scores are Francis and Fred with 7, but Jeremy and Linda just in the lead with 9 points. And we start round three with a cutting from the Yeovil Times.
The world-famous author and trustee of the Orangutan Foundation, Terry Pratchett, has drawn attention to the animal's plight, using the Indonesian legend that orangutans can talk but keep quiet about it in case people put them to work. The money raised will be used by the Orangutan Foundation, a registered charity, to help fund their conversation programme in Indonesia.
Thanks to the Reverend D. Hallas of Somerset for sending in that. Francis, which airline hopes to catch its rivals napping?
British Airways has launched a new scheme whereby all the business class executive club champagne on tap, News of the World reporters breathing down your ear, people will have beds to sleep in instead of seats. So they're going to take out all the pleb seats at the back and put in all these beds, and lose a lot of money on it, because, of course, they'll have fewer seats, and unless they charge about £1 million a seat, they can't possibly cover their costs
Well, they've already got beds in the first class, apparently, so these will be some rubbishy little sofa bed things that you've got to pull out.
They're actually not. They're armchair bed things, and they're facing in opposite directions, so you can't even get the double bed effect. You can't put two next to each other and then take your secret lover with you, because your toes would be in her ear.
You've not had much of a sex life, have you?
This is entirely true, but that's probably because I went to Thornley Bank and Robsley School in Glasgow, so I...
But you're at Robsley Primary?
I was at Robsley Primary, yes.
God, so are my children.
1964.
There's hope for them yet.
Oh, but Francis, what are you saying about... That would explain your impenetrable Glaswegian accent.
Fred, a piece of music. Fred, who is planning to sow the seeds of change on Fantasy Island?
Oh, God, another of my coughing fits. It's Sainsbury's.
It is. 2 points to Fred. Francis, would you like to answer Fred. The question?
Yeah, Sainsbury's, they're, as part of their green, ecological, nice, cuddly strategy, they're buying up islands in the Caribbean and turning them into little Sainsbury's colonies, producing ecologically grown and organically grown kiwi fruit or something. I don't know what they do with these things.
So, if you're in Sainsbury's, in the bakery section, you say, excuse me, where's the fruit and veg? The manager will say, it's if you get the 9:20 Glasgow to Antigua via Gatwick.
It's quite nice, though, to be greeted by Ricardo Montalbán as you go in the supermarket, wouldn't it? Welcome to Fantasy Island, where all the vegetables of your dreams come true.
That'll be cucumbers, then.
Two points to Fred. Linda, who's turned out to be mutton dressed as lamb?
Oh, yeah, Dolly the sheep. She's not as young as she thinks she is. Bit like Cher, really. Luckily, she's not strutting around in fishnet tights and stiletto. It would be awful. But yeah, poor little Dolly is sort of aged. I believe
Dolly
Fred.
Keeping suspenders and a cucumber. You're laughing.
I believe the nights in Perthshire are long. And I've heard it's a gherkin. Dolly the sheep, she's ageing at this incredible rate, accelerated rate, very much like William Hague. You know, she's made to be 36 and he's obviously undead. So that's what it is. Poor old Dolly. Born middle-aged.
Yes?
She, instead of going bar, she's walking around going, mustn't grumble. You better wear a vest or you'll get a chill on your kidneys.
Jeremy, whose ruling didn't stand up in court?
Is this Viagra?
It is. Of course.
OK, your man, the Health Secretary, Dobson, said that doctors can't prescribe Viagra because it costs an awful lot and they could only prescribe it in exceptional circumstances. So you could phone your GP and say, look, I'm with Susan Sarandon. I mean... Come on. How often does this happen? Come on. And the courts have overruled him.
Mr Dobson, the Health Secretary, said there was no way of telling whether Viagra was really going to cost the country billions of pounds until he establishes just how much Robin Cook is going to need. Scores at the end of round three are Francis and Fred with 12 points... Jeremy and Linda just clinging to the lead with 13. Francis, your music. That was Going Home. You should know it was by the Osmonds. Francis, who wants to net Jesus some extra souls?
Mormons.
Yes.
Salt Lake City. They've put 400 million names, is it, on the internet? They come over here and they go through parish registers, write down every single name, because they have this obsession with saving people. And the more names they can save, the higher in the hit parade they get. And they have now got zillions of names, and they've unleashed them on the internet. So if you want to look up your ancestors, you just click on to polygamy at Salt Lake City.
They don't have tea or coffee, do they, Mormons? It'd be a bloody nightmare having a Mormon pop round, wouldn't it? So, all right, well, would you like some lukewarm squash then? Oh, no, that's the devil's cordial.
Yes, the Mormons have listed 400 million souls on the internet in the hopes that they can be baptized and win entry into heaven. Mormons believe that you can baptize the dead, but admit it leaves quite a lot of mess in the font for the vicar to clean up. Fred, why is the sky no longer the limit for commuters?
It's writing his autobiography. Do you know the answer?
No.
Is it the flying car?
Is it Sainsbury's? Yes.
The flying car is right.
That's what I thought.
Scientists, boffins, researchers have invented a flying car which, instead of wheels, has little jet engines at each corner. Vertical takeoff and landing. So when you're fed up with the traffic jam, you press the button and you go up, I don't know, 100 yards or something into the air, and you can then whiz past all the other traffic and then you let out parachutes and you sink down into a parking space. Except that when all cars are made like that, it'll just transfer the traffic jam.
There'll be an obnoxious bloke in a sort of juggernaut that'll go up 50 yards just to kind of stop you from getting up.
Speed bumps are going to be very impressive. You'll be able to see them.
Linda, who thinks there's something fishy about the disappearance of Neanderthal man?
Neanderthal men, they died out because they ate a load of rubbish, loads of Pop-Tarts and burgers and things. And if they'd eaten more fish, they'd have been cleverer and they wouldn't have died out.
There's a big difference in Scotland about the issue of fish. Because if you go to a fish shop, a chippy, as we call it in England, you look at the menu on the board and it says cod, haddock, rock, place. And in Scotland, it says, fish! Which is a bit non-specific, isn't it?
What would you like to eat? I'd like to eat an animal that lives in the sea, please. How much will that be? Oh, that'll be some money, please, sir.
And then there's special fish, which is so special that it's killed and rolled in breadcrumbs and fried. Surely if it was special, it should be sponsored and go to university.
American geographer Jerome Doss believes that the thick-set physique of the Neanderthals was caused by the absence of iodine, as found in fish and seaweed. Lack of iodine is associated with reduced mental agility, poor physical performance, and a tendency to slow down, though you can get the same effect by joining the Scotland cricket team. Ooh, they don't like it up, do they? Jeremy, who detected a victory for grey power?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Who detected?
I've never seen you before. I don't know any of these people.
Jeremy, you do know.
I don't, Linda.
You do, because it's an old lady, an elderly detective who's become the sort of head of the Association of Private Detectives. You remember, because you've hired a private detective, that time you thought the nurses were stealing your clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an elderly woman who is at an age where most old people are solving mysteries like, what did I come in here for? Has rather impressively become the head of private detectives in Britain. It's fantastic. It's a brilliant achievement. Down these mean streets a woman must walk who's wearing K-skips. So it's a top result. It's a very heartwarming story.
There were seven potential candidates for the job of president, but they were finally whittled down to just Mrs. Sorrell during an eventful journey on the Orient Express last month. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from the Somerset County Gazette. A post office raider who left behind his written list of what to do during the hold-up has been jailed for 6 years. His crib sheet in the exercise book read as follows. 9 a.m, hit, 3 minutes, locked door, tie-up, back room, safe, till. He told the jury there was an innocent explanation for his raiding list. He said, hit means horse in Tinbuscombe. 3 mins was actually 3 miles. Lock door meant the doors of his home in Ireland. Tie up meant tie up the dog at home in Ireland. Back room meant check it at home. Safe meant make the house safe. And till meant he owed the till at his local in County Kerry for 2 pints.
Fred. This is from the local Buckingham Star. And it says, Goldline Upholstery Limited require an experienced upholsterer to cover the London and Kent area.
Linda.
Well, this is from a publication I'm sure you're familiar with, the Reigate and Redhill Independent, and it's sent in by Peter Wade. And it tells a grisly story of someone who's arrested for a terrible assault and who resists arrest and assaults the policeman. And it says, in the scuffle, he kicked one officer in the groin and bit another officer's finger so hard he could not prise it from his mouth. Miss Teresa Evans, defending, said, Mr. Curran had not intended to assault the officer. In the interview at the police station, he said he had come into contact with the finger and thought it was a kebab.
Jeremy.
This has been sent in from the Bracknell News, which is very close to my heart because I shall be performing in Bracknell on the 8th of June at South Hill Park Arts Centre doing my joke. And this is for sale. Push-button telephone. Full working order, guaranteed clean. Must be seen.
Thank you all. Now it's time for the final scores. Francis and Fred are weeping on the pitch with 16 points, but Jeremy and Linda are holding the cup aloft with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's an item spotted in the Sunday Mail by Anne Thompson of Guildford.
A woman seen sitting in a parked car with both hands behind her head told paramedics she'd been shot and had been holding her brains in for an hour. But when they checked 23-year-old Linda Burnett from San Diego, California, they found she'd been hit by dough, which had exploded from a tin in the back of the car. When Miss Burnett reached back, she felt the dough, which she thought was her brains.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith and Fred McCauley. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.